Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to talk college hockey. This is USCHO Live from U.S. College Hockey Online at uscho.com. USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. Be a part of the conversation. Give us a call now or message us on Twitter at USCHO. This is USCHO Live. USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. U.S. College Hockey Online at uscho.com.
Welcome back to USCHO Live from uscho.com. We're at the greatest bar in Boston. In a little while, a couple of prominent men from ESPN, John Buchagross and Barry Melrose, will be here talking to people in the establishment. We'll carry that for you live here on uscho.com. I'm Ed Trepsker along with Jim Connolly, and Jim, it really has been a terrific few days in Boston. I guess the weather tomorrow is supposed to get to be spectacular. There's a great fan experience right outside TD Garden. But let's talk a little bit about the teams that will be in the Frozen Four finals tomorrow, Providence and Boston University. And as somebody who covers Hockey East, you see these teams quite a bit. What are a few things to look for with each of these teams?
I think I can actually boil it down really simply. With three words, it's will versus skill. I do believe that BU is a skill team, and they have a lot of great players. Danny O'Regan, Evan Rodriguez, Adi Oksanen, and then a guy named Eichel that we can't forget. Mac Rizvik on the back end. Their goaltender, Matt O'Connor, is a guy that's always mentioned among the top goaltenders. They've got the skill. They have some depth. We saw some of their third line scoring kind of getting activated. We saw some defensemen scoring last night. So when they get a lot of their components put together, they are the most skilled team probably in the country. But will means a lot in this tournament. We've seen it well in Union both. We're pretty skilled teams, but they just had a lot of desire to win. And they had coaches in Keith Lane and Rick Bennett. And really, you can kind of say Nate Lehman when you talk about Union because he was the builder of that program. They taught those guys how to be winners. And that's something that you can't forget. That will and the will to win, that desire to win, goes so far at times in this tournament in a single-game scenario. I think if you play this as a best-of-seven series, BU probably can win it in five. Maybe they win it in six. But in a single-game scenario, you just don't know what's going to happen. And there's an X factor here in a goaltender named John Gilley. Providence has the better goaltender. There's no doubt there. He's an All-American this year. I think he's second-team East All-American. Probably could have been a first-team goaltender, but Alex Lyon's numbers at Yale were just through the roof. what John Gillies brings to this Providence team is a settling factor. You don't have to be too nervous. You don't have to be too scared when you have John Gillies in net. You can allow some bad defensive breakdowns. Now, you say that, they don't. Providence doesn't break down defensively that often.
No.
So when you have John Gillies in net and you're actually playing some really darn good D, that makes you an even more scary team. So will there be goals for Providence's forwards and defensemen that can then be enough to support what John Gillies is going to give him? That is a big question. We also can look at the other side of the goaltending and say that Matt O'Connor for Boston University, I mentioned that he's always in the name of solid goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put him in the name of great goaltenders. He's given up bad goals in each of his last two games that could have cost his team a victory. Against Minnesota Duluth, he let in a shot from about 70 feet that just kind of breaks off his glove and goes in. Last night, when the game seemed like it was out of hand, a 4-1 game, BU on the power play, he bobbles a puck, kicks the puck right out into the slot, and it's a 2-foot putt for the North Dakota player.
Shorthanded.
A 4-2 game, shorthanded goal, and then it becomes 4-3. So you just, can goaltending be the factor? I think that is our storyline going into tomorrow night, at least. Will it be our storyline at 10:30, 11 o'clock tomorrow night? That's kind of where the difference maker comes. Are we still talking about goaltending when this game ends? If we are, I think that we're crowning Providence as a first-time national champion, because if goaltending is the difference maker in the game, Providence should win.
The unforeseen, the intangible in that is the greasy goal, the fluky goal, the funny bounce that makes a difference that could get past even the best of goaltenders, or scramble out in front, or even, I hope not, but even possibly the controversial call that has to go to video replay. You never know.
You don't. That's what I think. That's a reason I love the college hockey tournament. The one and done scenario. And we mentioned we're at the state of the game today, and we got to hear a lot about the state of the game and where they're thinking about going with the NCAA tournament, the thought that they might go back to campus sites in the first round. If you're going to bring eight teams into eight other teams' arenas, the bottom eight teams of the field going into the top eight teams, are you going to play one game in those scenarios?
I hope
or
not.
Or do they play a best two out of three series? And that's something that becomes...
As long as they don't do two-game total goals.
Or mini-games, stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, the dreaded mini-game.
That's what you have to kind of put in the back of your head. You know, are you kind of concerned about the thought that this won't be a one-and-done tournament someday? Because I think that I talked to some coaches up at the Northeast Regional Manchester before it got going. And I think it might have been Keith Delaney-Yale who just said that he loves that one-game scenario. He loves the fact it was actually Don Lucia. It was Don Lucia from Minnesota who said there's something that makes the basketball tournament, that makes the hockey tournament special, and the one game can do a lot and make this tournament special. It makes it interesting, and that might be what we have to kind of keep an eye out for. If we're going to lose that one-and-done scenario in the NCAA tournament, what does that do for the interest? Does it make it a little less interesting to fans?
Maybe it does. It's also twice as many places to broadcast from for the first round. Then what do you need to do for the next round where you got to get from eight down to four?
I think if you go back to the old tournament, 1990, 1989, I think was the last 2 years they did this. It was a 12-team tournament back then, so there were four teams that got byes, and there were four first-round series that were best of three, and then the next weekend there were four quarterfinal series that were best of three. Is that where we're going? I don't know if I like it. I'm going to be the first, not the first, but I'm going to be one of many to come out and say, have an opinion on this. I don't know if I like it. I like what we're doing with regionals. I don't care the fact that you have cement buildings or half-empty buildings, and maybe even worse than half-empty buildings. I know the experience is supposed to be a big part of it, and I know that you want to be showing your game the best level, and that is usually a sold-out building. We saw Fargo
right
during the regionals with North Dakota. I'm okay with a half-empty building if you're still playing good hockey and there's an experience for everybody there. The students get an experience in a regional. The fans get an experience traveling somewhere to watch these games. I don't know. I'm still a little uneasy about the thought of maybe going back to campus sites.
Well, and one of the problems, of course, is arena size. If you talk about NHL arenas, that's way too big for a regional. If you talk about American Hockey League-sized arenas, 8,000 to 10,000 to 12,000, that may be too large. Maybe the sweet spot is the 5,000, 6,000-seat arena, but unfortunately those also end up being on-campus sites. So do you make it a neutral on-campus site, or do you go back to... And for example, I went to the Midwest Regional, 5,000 seats and change at Compton Family Ice Arena, University of Notre Dame. Not a full barn, but the atmosphere was great. But the size of the arena was perfect for that, and it felt close and tight and had that college feel with the fans and the bands and so forth like that. That kind of ends up missing if it's a larger AHL or smaller NHL size arena. Although, again, that also showed me you don't need a full arena to have atmosphere. You just have the fans.
I don't mind going to an on-campus rink for a college. I really don't. Because if there's no guarantee your team is getting in. Notre Dame hosts this year, didn't get in.
Right.
So you didn't have a major home ice advantage.
Michigan got in 20 years when they hosted at Yost.
I think that Yost is a great place. I think that Aganis Arena is a great place. I think that Saugus Arena would be great. I think that the Whittemore Center at UNH would be great. I think that Quinnipiac and what they have down there in Hamden would be a super place. There are so many great venues in this college hockey game today that let's put some of them on display and let's put 5,000, 6,000 fans screaming, whether it's for their team, the home team, or whether it's for some teams from the general area that can travel 2 or 3 hours or less to get there. Let's just find a way to do this.
Well, I think maybe the thing is this. Let's do it on campus sites, but let's keep the format of four regionals. That may be the best solution to that.
The only thing I got to talk to Nate Lehman about it today, I would love for them to explore the super regional concept, which you're taking the two western regions and two eastern regions and putting them in the same city. You play one of those regions on Thursday, Saturday. You play the other region on Friday, Sunday. In doing so, you're now giving teams a day's rest, which is much more fair when you think about the fact that two teams maybe at 2 and 5:30 and then come back 3:30 the next day. That team that played that 5:30 game is at a major disadvantage, particularly if there's overtime involved. Giving that extra day off, and Nate said that they would love it. He said as a coach, you'd absolutely love it. He said that coaches actually broached the subject at the convention last year of, we'll find ways as a school to pay for it. Don't worry about it, NCAA. We'll get our hotel for one extra night. We'll get our meals for one extra day. We would love a day off. So if they were to go into that super regional concept and you could put 8 teams in one city, 8 teams fans in one city, it's almost like creating a Frozen Four, maybe just smaller venues. And obviously this becomes almost like 2 tournaments there. You have it during basketball. The NCAA basketball uses this format in the first 2 rounds. So I don't see why it's not a feasible option. Didn't hear that brought up today at the State of the Game. That was something I was kind of surprised that they didn't bring up. I figured that would be something
that would solve a few things. First of all, it would keep production costs down because you only have to set up in 2 places. Secondly, it would help the problem of not getting enough bids in certain regions because then you'd have a couple. Another thing that I think it would be really helpful on is that it would allow you to John McGrath stepping out of the vehicle. I guess they're here. That would also give you the opportunity to maybe put it in a 10,000-seat arena and have a place where it would fit. So you've got a lot of things there that are fairly compelling about it. So, I think that's something they should explore.
The one thing I'm going to point out there, and I did talk to a guy named Steve Metcalf, who's an associate AD at the University of New Hampshire. New Hampshire has hosted the regional many times in Manchester. And he said, I said, if it goes to 4 days, you guys would bid. He said, no way. He said, it's just too much work. So that is one of the issues. Do you not get the bids if that's the case? If that were to be the case and that would be something that would be too exhaustive, too much in terms of resources, that could be a major problem, a major issue. So that could be the one stumbling block to what I think sounds like a pretty intelligent scenario.
To go in, and so maybe the Thursday, Saturday is run by Hockey East and Friday, Sunday by ECAC or something
maybe. Who knows how you do it? But if the venue can't sustain it themselves, that could be the problem. But I would just like to see a good solution. I know it's very hard to get a lot of people to agree and do everything and find a kind of a common place, but when you have that agreement and we get a good tournament and we can put a lot of fans in to watch this great game, we'll know we've arrived at the real top level of where we can go.
This is USCHO Live from USCHO.com. I'm Ed Trefsker along with Jim Connolly. The Friday night of the whole Frozen Four 2015 here in Boston.
And what a city this has been. This has been a pretty special place. And I'm amazed that from 1974 to 1998, there were zero Frozen Fours in Boston, which is kind of crazy. 98, of course, hosted here, 2004 hosted, and now we are back 11 years later, in a building that got pretty electric last night at times. So I think that we should see this tournament back here more. I hope that's the case. We now know our bids through 2018. Tampa next year, Chicago, Illinois after that, and then St. Paul, Minnesota in 18.
St. Paul has done a great job every time they've hosted. XL Energy Center is a terrific place to have it. New in Chicago, first time there. Tampa, second time there, and Tampa getting it back very quickly. Rob Higgins from the Tampa Bay Sports Commission has been here, and this is fresh off of them just hosting the women's basketball Final Four. I think he's really the key. Just terrific management by that sports commission made that Tampa event so good, at running without a hitch, such a great fan experience. They raised the bar a notch or two for Frozen Four hosting, and I'm actually very excited to go back to Tampa. I know people were kind of concerned about it or weren't sure how it would work out, but it couldn't have been better.
Well, I think that, you know, you mentioned Rob Higgins' name. He was part of the group that bid for it 9 years before it actually arrived in Tampa there three years ago. He was there at that point, and he stuck through. And not only did he stick through, he has stayed, and he has grown that sports commission, and it has almost become, as you kind of alluded to, an NCAA hub. They've put in men's regional finals in basketball. They now have the women's Final Four this year. Obviously, they're going to have their second Frozen Four next year. I love what they do. They understand it for a team that, or a city that maybe doesn't seem to understand everything about the college sports concept when it is not including football. They get it. They found a way. The branding in that city was great. I thought that the structure of the city, the way the hotels are very close to the venue, the way there's enough entertainment in that venue area, it's a perfect city for an event like this.
And, you know, it is sort of one of the little tiny pockets of hockey following in the South. They've developed a great youth hockey program around there in the Tampa area, and, of course, winning a Stanley Cup doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and you know, we saw Dave Andrechuk down there, and he was very key in everything that was going on. The last Frozen Four was there, and he was kind of like the friendly face of the crowd. He wanted to be kind of the lightning face of that event, and he did a great job. And when you can put those types of faces onto an event like this so that it's not just about college, it's about being recognized by the NHL community that they're embracing this just as much as is the local city or maybe the local population, that is just kind of elevates it that one extra level. And I think that that is something that Tampa has done. Minnesota, I think, does that. When it goes to St. Paul, the NHL, you kind of feel that presence. But, you know, it's tied in. We maybe haven't seen it that much here in Boston. Maybe that's a level that they could bring up here a tiny bit. But I do believe that there is something that feels special in these NHL cities that love hockey to bring an event like this to those locations.
It's harder in a bigger city for an event like this to have notoriety. People have said, hey, what if they had the Frozen Four in New York City? Well, you could have the Frozen Four in New York City, say it's at Madison Square Garden or it was in Brooklyn. You could have that event there, and two blocks away, people would have no idea the event was going on.
Right.
Whereas when you go to Tampa, you know, there was no doubt there were banners everywhere. And if you go elsewhere to a place like Minneapolis, where it is such a big hockey town, it's not missed either. This is USCHO Live. We're at the greatest bar in Boston. And if you happen to be in the Boston area, please stop by. We're going to have John Buccigross and Barry Melrose are going to be live here in just a few minutes. So they're just getting all the logistics set up here. Place is filling in.
Man, it certainly has. I mean, this is a pretty well-packed venue right now. The downstairs here is is jammed. They have a nice balcony here. I love this. I really like the setup of this bar, a four-floor establishment. But the balcony here kind of overlooks. You can kind of stand up there and watch. And I think the more fans that come in here, the more people that are going to be watching this event tonight, that area there is going to begin to fill up. But they do a nice job here. This is a sports bar that truly feels like a sports bar, more so than probably anyone that we've broadcast for from in our 5-6 years of doing this show.
Well, you know, I just want to get back to something else about the Frozen Four. We talk about Minnesota, talk about different venues. This is one of those years where actually you have two teams from nearby, BU and Providence, and there have been some very special Frozen Fours where the winner is in the local area. You think about Minnesota winning at XL Energy Center in
02. Duluth winning at XL Energy Center
in 11. You think about Wisconsin winning at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, and those Wisconsin fans filling that arena that day. So I expect that the atmosphere tomorrow in TD Garden is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I do believe it. Boston University fans have a nice little passion for their hockey team, and we do know that sometimes it's hard to get a ticket to this game. The resale market, I haven't looked at it today. I'm sure it has some pretty solid numbers to it. But, you know, sometimes just getting into the building can be a difficult thing. I understand that. But I do believe that the bars around here and the general economy will benefit greatly by the fact that you do have two local teams in here. That's something that's really special. And we're looking at David Quinn, Boston University head coach, just walked through the door. He's fresh off from one of his players being crowned the Hobie Baker Memorial Award winner, Jack Eichel. Congratulations to him. This is a nice little atmosphere we have going here right
yeah.
now. This is a lot of fun to watch these great personalities of the game walk around, be able to broadcast this event. We appreciate the help that ESPN has provided for that, and everybody here at the greatest bar for being able to do that as well.
We're just waiting for them to take the stage here. Stage such as it is, they're actually right in the front window and right here in the midst of everybody as they're walking.
Yeah,
in the,
if you're in Boston right now and listening, you have a good solid hour that you can get down here and you'll hear from these great personalities. I know that John and Barry Melrose wanted to do a lot of pictures. I see Buschigross actually walking through the crowd right now, just stopping with fans that want to take pictures with him. I mean, this is a man who has found a way to use his position as the play-by-play anchor for the Frozen Four to really promote this game of college hockey.
Yeah, and he has his hashtag college hockey stuff, and you know he's stuffing those envelopes himself and putting that money in there for charity. So you can check that out too. And if you follow him on Twitter, you can see how much that he supports all of that.
And
too.
If you don't follow John Buschigross on Twitter at Buschigross, BUCCIGROSS, follow him. It's a pretty fun take. The man makes hockey enjoyable all times of the year. The NHL playoffs, the Buschigross overtime challenge, what he's able to do with that. So a lot of fun to follow that man and enjoy what he and the network is able to do.
Yeah, indeed. And they will be having the call tomorrow as Providence takes on Boston University on ESPN. So I hope you'll be able to check that out. And, you know, while you are watching that on ESPN, be double screened. Make sure you have your Twitter going. Make sure you have the live blog going with USCHO. You can be multiple screens, multiple things going on all while it's going on. We'll have our staff there live blogging the event, continuous updates throughout the game, total recap afterwards, plus all the features and highlights. And two of the best photographers in college hockey, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, this is our Super Bowl. This is a game that we all love. Everybody at U.S. College Hockey Online loves promoting this game. So to be part of an event like this tonight, to be part of this weekend, always something pretty special for us.
I suppose we're going to have to go out on a limb at some point and make picks for tomorrow.
Ooh, I don't want to do that. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I don't really either.
That is one that, a tie to Hockey East, and two coaches that I really like and respect.
Okay, we'll dispense with
that. Those picks are very difficult to make, I'll tell you that.
So that's all coming up here at the greatest
bar.
Yeah,
just moment away, John Buschigross and Barry Melrose from ESPN. They will be kind of taking over the show. We look forward to what they're going to say.
We'll have a front row seat. That's
kind of
cool.
We have a great seat for this. David Quinn, we're about 5 minutes away from that. So we can actually take this time. A lot of awards handed out today. We mentioned the Hobie Baker Memorial Award. That goes to Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel also takes home the Tim Taylor Award, which is given out to the nation's best rookie. And then goaltending, the Dane McIntyre from North Dakota, he takes home the second annual Richter Award. Connor Hellebuck and Moore winning it last year.
And how cool is it that Mike Richter himself took care for the presentation of the award?
That's something that's really big. I think that's a really big part. We also had All-Americans announced today, and you can find the full wrap-up of All-America on our site, uscho.com. But I do believe that, you know, the award day at the Frozen Four, there's a lot of guys that are going to go home with some hardware here, and sometimes it's for things that are done off the ice, and that's the Hockey Humanitarian Award that we always really take a great like and love for.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite awards, and, you know, this year you can check out the information on the Humanitarian Award at uscho.com. And this year, that award is Wisconsin's Brittany Ammerman. The stories behind it, if I start reading the story here, I'll get a little choked up. It's always something amazing.
It really is. I mean, you know, you feel like something you do in life every day. You try to do some good things. These kids are between the ages of 18 and maybe 23, 24. What they've done with their life, unmarked. It's so remarkable what they've been able to accomplish as athletes, student athletes. You're playing for a team, you're trying to win games, you're trying to represent your school well, but at the same time, you're being some of the best citizens that you can imagine. So the Hockey Humanitarian Award, we will actually have Brittany on our show, and just another plug for our show tomorrow, 3:30 to 5:30, live from the Greatest Bar. We will be broadcasting USCHO live, but we'll have Brittany with us tomorrow. It should be a really nice time.
This is USCHO Live. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back in just a few moments as we continue here from the Greatest Bar in Boston.
USCHO Live is brought to you by the USCHO Fan Shop at shop.uscho.com. For college hockey and college sports fan gear, visit shop.uscho.com. USCHO Live from U.S. College Hockey Online at uscho.com.
College hockey offers fast-paced action with the unmatched atmosphere of a college campus. Experience the passion and excitement as schools from across the country compete for the NCAA Division I national title. College hockey produces exemplary young men, including one-third of all NHL players, like Ryan Miller, Matt Molson, and Brian Gionta. Whether you're a fan of the game or a prospective player, nothing compares to the college hockey experience. Play it smart. Play college hockey. Visit collegehockeyinc.com.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent, 1 in 260,000. The odds of him having 15 career NASCAR victories, 1 in 1.7 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys. Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
College hockey offers fast-paced action with the unmatched atmosphere of a college campus. Experience the passion and excitement as schools from across the country compete for the NCAA Division I national title. College hockey produces exemplary young men, including one-third of all NHL players, like Ryan Miller, Matt Molson, and Brian Gionta. Whether you're a fan of the game or a prospective player, nothing compares to the college hockey experience. Play it smart. Play college hockey. Visit collegehockeyinc.com.
50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is USCHO Live here at the Greatest Bar, and we're going to be joined by John Buchagras and Barry Melrose from ESPN.
That's church music where I'm from. Thanks so much for coming out. This year's Frozen Four here at the Greatest Bar. I'm John Buchagras. I wear makeup and talk about sports for a living. And now I'm glad to be here with you at a great bar in a great city. Barry Melrose is currently being detained by some radio interview on the phone. He'll join me in seconds so you can see his musky manliness in person. Let's get the show started. Also, we're online right now, streaming live. USCHO online. So for those out there in the internet, we say hi from Boston. And again, I guess we're giving tickets tonight at the end of our little festivities. Two pairs of tickets. So you have two chances to win two tickets to the national championship game Saturday, 7:30 across the street tomorrow. Of course, the game is also on ESPN. Games were on ESPN2 last night, but we're on ESPN, the original, for the Natty. Tomorrow night. So again, two chances to win two pairs of tickets. It's the hottest ticket in town. The secondary market is off the charts. So these would be good tickets to win for a couple of reasons. So let's get the show started right now. We're honored to be joined by the head coach of the BU Terriers, Mr. David Quinn.
I sense a North Dakota feel to this crowd.
There's a few. They're a passionate group. They rented out the bar, so...
I could use those two sets of tickets, too, by the way.
Yeah, I bet you could.
I do have a raffle ticket. Do I have a chance?
Yes. I'm not sure if you're eligible. I'm sure you should be. So, yeah, it's a tough ticket to get, isn't it? This is maybe a, you know, for BU, you've been here before, but to do it in Boston in the 21st century, as college hockey continues to grow, there's a big buzz.
There is a buzz, and anytime you get to the Frozen Four, it's a special feeling, but when you're playing in your own city, it kind of elevates it a little bit, if that's at all possible. And, you know, the atmosphere last night was outstanding. I'd like to, you know, congratulate North Dakota on a phenomenal season. I know last night wasn't what you wanted it to be, but it went exactly the way I wanted it to go. But you travel incredible. It's one of the premier programs in college hockey, and I just want to congratulate you for a heck of a season.
Yeah, the North Dakota fans.
Yeah.
North Dakota fans make the sport better.
Absolutely.
They bring a passion and an electricity, and we hope more schools grow and travel like they do. What was, from your vantage point behind the bench, what did the game look like? Because you were outshot. They hit a couple of crossbars. Was it an uncomfortable game for you to coach?
You know, the game took a lot of different twists and turns. You know, I thought we played really well the first 10, 12 minutes, and then all of a sudden, we get up 1-0. They started controlling the play a little bit. We get that important goal at the end of the towards the end of the first period. Then we take a penalty. They get the goal early in the second to make it 2-1. And then I thought they really had us on our heels for the next 12 minutes. We got fortunate. They hit a post. They, you know, weren't able to capitalize on some of their chances. And then, you know, again, you have to be opportunistic in our game. And, you know, Eichel makes a great play to Greer, and Greer takes a heck of a shot. That was an NHL shot because the pass was hard. It was a cross-ice pass. Greer was ready to shoot it. And then I thought after that we kind of started playing better, and the second period ended. Obviously, we get another goal to make it 4-1. And then, you know, I thought the third period went, you know, I thought North Dakota was doing the things they needed to do. They were taking chances. Their D were very active. They were spending time on our end, but we were doing a good job defending. I thought we kept things on the perimeter. And then we get the power play, and all hell breaks loose. You know, our goalie does something that he hasn't done all year. We give up a goal that we hadn't given up all year, make it 4-2. We take a too many on the ice penalty, which we haven't taken all year. They make it 4-3. Then we take a stupid penalty from a guy who hasn't taken a stupid penalty in 2 years I've coached him. So three things happened that hadn't happened a year, and all of a sudden we're hanging on for dear life. And, you know, our best player made a key play at the most key time, and we were fortunate enough to live another day.
Barry Melrose, everybody, joins us now midway through. Barry, we are on the internets, so keep that in mind. Please, no swearing. Barry grew up on a farm, so, you know, just keep that in mind, that people are listening.
Well, I'm sure when Davey saw that goal go in when he had the power play, there was a little bit of swearing on the back
yes, there
of the
U bench. We could read his lips.
Yes, there was.
When that
yes,
happened.
There was.
What was the feeling right then? We any of us that have coached, you're sitting there, you're dominating the game. And the team is hanging in there, and all of a sudden the game's over. Power play, you know, even if just kill it off,
just kill it off.
Just get out of here 4-1.
Get it down to 5 minutes.
And you got one of the best goalies in college hockey. Yeah. And he kicks one in.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's what's so good college hockey. You're dealing with 18 to 22, 23 year olds, and anything can happen at the most inopportune time. And you know, pressure is a difficult thing to handle. You know, and it just was one of those things, and you could, you know, the problem we had was, you know, our bench got a little bit deflated, as I think most benches would in that situation. But, you know, I thought we managed it pretty well, and then we just take the penalty, and it's just, you know, you're thinking, oh, boy, are we, you know, is this really going to happen? And then, sure enough, you know, we block a shot. Hickey blocks the shot. It goes right to their guy. Matson makes a heck of a play.
That was a great
play. It was a hell of a play.
That's the underrated thing. Most guys would have shot that thing.
That was a hell of a play. I mean, give North Dakota a lot of credit. They got good players. They make a great play.
Yeah.
Now it's 4-3. You know, I thought we did a pretty good job after that. Obviously, we take a stupid penalty to get to a 5-on-4 situation, which is a lot harder to defend than a 6-on-5. Yeah. And, you know, but our key player made a key play at a great time, and, you know, we withstood it.
Is that Jack's best game?
I thought Jack was a complete player. I mean, I thought he did a great. I thought he got a lot better as the game went on. I thought the first 10 minutes, you know, that line wasn't very effective. I thought they were standing still. And then I thought Jack really got involved, and he was physical. He obviously was making key plays.
Two or three really great defensive plays, too.
And that's the thing that gets overlooked in his game. I mean, I've said this a lot about him. He's so competitive. He's so smart. He's a well-rounded player. He's tough. He's legit hockey tough. He's Saskatchewan tough.
Yep, yep.
And he's going to be a hell of a player for a long time.
If you didn't hear, Jack Eichel did win the Hobey Baker Award tonight. That's where David was last for the Providence College Friars. They will not be afraid of you guys tomorrow. That's the kind of team they are. That's the kind of coach Nate Lehman is. What's the biggest challenge for you against Providence tomorrow?
Well, they're big, strong. They've got a great goalie. They defend really well. But the thing I like about our team is we've played teams like that the last three games. You know, Yale was like that. Duluth was like that. North Dakota's big and strong. Has a great D core. They make you earn every inch of the ice. And the one thing about our team, I know we've got guys that with a lot of flash and dash, and we've got the guys with 60-plus points, and Eichel and Rodriguez and Grizzlick, but we've got a grit element to us, which allows us to have an opportunity to win games like we did last night. And it allowed us to win the game against Duluth, and it allowed us to win the game against Yale. And we're going to have to be as gritty and as tough as we have been all year tomorrow night.
Dave, what has happened here? Is it a case where the Western Conference wasn't as good as they appeared, or the Eastern Conference is better than they appeared? Providence has beaten three of the NCHC teams.
Yeah.
And we beat two. And you guys have two, so,
yeah.
What is it?
Well, I think our team was really good, Barry, and, their league obviously had a great year. A lot of their teams were in the top 10. Five of them, I think, were in the top 10. But there's so much parity in college hockey. We only got three teams in, but teams 15 through 18 in the pair ratings were Hockey East teams. So, and there's such a fine line, as you know, between the 17th team in the pair ratings and the 9th team in the pair ratings. And, our league's deep. It's good. New Hampshire, who we played in the semifinals, was playing as well as any team in the country. And, so I think it was more of our league being probably better than people may have anticipated.
You guys didn't know David was a very good hockey player. First round in the NHL and played at BU, had to retire because of a health situation early in his hockey career. College hockey as a whole, the next 25 to 40 years, where do you see college growing?
Well, I think, with obviously all the notoriety we're getting and the coverage we're getting, I think it just continues to grow. I think you're going to see a lot of changes, too, with the NHL and major junior hockey. We're not too far away from having the CHL able to play college hockey. And
really?
I think so. It's just,
you think that will happen?
I think it's going to happen. I don't know when. I think eventually the NCAA with, all of a sudden they're going to start to allow you to pay players a stipend. I think it's heading in that direction. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I do think eventually it will. It may not happen during my coaching career, but I think it will happen. But I think college hockey is growing leaps and bounds. Arizona State starting a program. I think the Big Ten having six teams and wanting to have two to four with inspire some more of those Big Ten teams to start programs. And it's just great for college hockey. They get the Arizona States and the Penn States and, maybe USC or Stanford. It would be great for college hockey if some of those big schools would have hockey.
One kid I want to talk to you about is a kid that, you got your high-profile guys, Rodriguez, Theorigi, Eichel. I thought Holman was great. I the first time I've seen him person.
Right.
He's a fire plug guy. He's small.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got, a scraggly little beard on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the guy is a good hockey player.
He's a real good player. He's gone under the radar for probably this year. He's a guy that's had 40 points in his career here, and it's been a little bit tough for him to not accept it, but, he's been a scorer, and he's still a scorer. But he's the heart and soul of our team, and that's why he was out there with less than a minute to go. You knew in a situation, you needed will, you needed courage, you needed desperation, you needed someone who was just going to get something done, no matter what the circumstances were. He got it done. He allowed Jack to possess that puck, when they had the 5-on-4. And he's a huge reason why we're in the situation we're in.
One more question. Dave's got to go to his team dinner at 7:30.
He gets another for tonight?
Yeah.
Wow.
Chicken parm on the menu.
Winning's the greatest. Winning's the greatest.
If you're lucky enough and fortunate enough to win tomorrow, what one person, other than yourself, not the team, but the one person you'll be most happy for, the one person that's been most influential to you perhaps, but the one person you're like, man, I'm glad I won this for, blank.
One, that's tough to pick. The first thing I'm going to think of is our team.
Right.
We went through such a difficult season last year. The returning players, everything they had into it over the summer, the way they embraced our freshmen, it allowed us to have success. And so if I'm, it's not one person, but I'm going to tell you our team, because we've had some success up to this point. We've won some trophies. can't tell you the feeling I get when I watch them celebrate and lift the trophy over their head. And I can't even believe what the feeling might be tomorrow night if we're able to lift that trophy over their
head. I might say mom, because she's a nervous wreck.
She's not feeling her, but I hope we can do this later on again. So it's my team that I'll feel better for.
It's David Quinn. He's on every Kennedy miniseries you've ever seen on TV. Kennedy Extra. JFK's best friend at Choate. Be
Kent,
your head coach.
I went to Kent.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, David.
Go ahead and eat, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so David Quinn, we thank him for stopping by. I think Nate Lehman, the Providence head coach, is going to join us as well as at some point in our festivities. Barry, this is cool. The college hockey fans, you're going up in Canada, play junior hockey. What do you like?
Obviously, there's a difference. Because, well, I love UND. I'm from Saskatchewan, so I love North Dakota. Not many people here have driven through North Dakota. I've driven through North Dakota. I can guarantee you that. It's not a nice drive at times. But I just love the energy of the kids. That's what I love about junior hockey. The kids play so hard. They all want to make it to the NHL. They all hope to make it to the NHL. They're very coachable before they get spoiled with money. This will be before their heads get too big. They're just great kids. And, they play so hard for you. They'll do it every day. And that's why it's so great to see a guy that I coached end up, Trevor Linden, played for me in Medicine Hat. You know, Trevor's career, and then now he's general manager and president of Vancouver. So text tonight from Dean Chenault. Dean Chenault is coming down here to Boston. Dean played for me in junior. I meet Keith Primo tonight. Keith Primo's over at Intel. His organization is sponsoring one of the tonight. Keith played for me in the American League. So you just love to see the passion the kids play. That game last night, the shot block, and Hickey takes a shot almost in the head. They score a goal on it. 20 seconds later, he's down blocking another shot that turns into the game-winning goal. You just love to see these kids play for, play for it, the passion they play with, the energy they play with. That's what I love about junior hockey, college hockey, minor league hockey. It doesn't matter.
Oh, Dick, you want to grab a mic, and if someone has a question out there, maybe you guys can Nate Lehman, 7:30. Maybe what we'll do is we'll give away the first pair of tickets like at 7:15, so, and then we'll get the other pair after Nate. And so if anybody has a question, you can raise your hand. Derek has a mic. A Barry, a comment, a question. Think about it. You know, if you don't have one right now, it's okay, but just at some point, raise your hand. There you go, get the ball rolling.
As far as the makeup of a championship team goes, do you think a player like Eichel, you know, top five draft pick, is a more integral part, or the third, fourth year guys with experience? Maybe
that's a good question.
Fourth round draft pick.
That's a good point, because last year we had Union, right? Bailey, a lot of older guys play 2 years USHL, go to a prep school, and 20 to 24 year olds, or you get a superstar generational player like Jack Eichel, who obviously made everyone better. So there are two ways to do it. I would think the way Union did it is probably the safer way, because you never know when someone like Eichel is going to come around, and if you're going to get him.
Well, if BU wins tomorrow, then the Eichel experiment has worked also.
Right, but how many Jack Eichels are there?
Well, that's the thing. But I think you got to look at college basketball. You've just seen Kentucky. Seven of their guys are going to turn pro and go into the draft. So they got to be two and get all these new players. Wisconsin was a team that Kaminsky played 4 years. So there's two ways of doing it. The exciting way is to have all these high draft picks, number one draft picks, and go right to the NBA. Another way of doing it is like Union or like Wisconsin, where you develop kids and they play 4 years for you and then they go on. If I'm a fan, I like the 4 years. I want to see a player play for 4 years. I want to get to know the kid for 4 years. I want to enjoy watching him for 4 years. But in a realistic world, these kids know they're only going to be one-year wonders. So it's whichever coach or organization decides that's the way we're going to go, they're going to get these guys. And this year, BU went and got Eichel. He's going to be here 1 year. Hannifin in BC, probably 1 year. You got to accept that. You got to enjoy watching the kid for 1 year and realize that this kid's special, and you're seeing magic in a bottle. And like last night, he was the best player on the ice. he changed the game around. But you're only going to see him for 1 year, whereas you might see a kid in North Dakota who's Johnson, very good player. You're going to see him for 4 years. So, you know, you got to decide, you know, what you accept. But also with the Fighting Sioux, you guys have had a lot of 1-2 year guys too. A guy called Patrick Kane or Jonathan Taves, you know, he was pretty good for you for 2 years. So you got to accept that also. So it's going to happen. We're into this era that, you know, there's going to be guys play college for 1 year, and you know, you decide you're going to accept it, or you know, maybe the Ivies and stuff where it goes a little tougher. You're 4 year guys, but you know, guys like Eichel and stuff, they're going to come for 1 year. Austin Matthews, they're going to be in college for 1 year.
Well, again, as you know, Jack Eichel and Noah Hannafin would have been seniors in high school this year if they didn't accelerate, and that's the same with Austin Matthews. He hasn't started yet to accelerate to even be eligible to play college hockey, so many feel he's going to play junior next year, but he still has time. He still could do it, but it looks like right now he'll likely play junior. But no coach is going to say no to Jack Eichel or Austin Matthews, one and done. That's rare, right. And there's two and duns, there's three and duns, and then there's four and duns, but everybody's different. Go ahead.
All right, well, first I have to say congrats to Eichel, but I was cheering for Zane McIntyre as a
That's
UND
fine.
Fan.
He won the
yes.
Mike Richter Award today for yep. best goalie, Zane McIntyre.
My question is, all right, so obviously the big game was last night, but the next big game is tomorrow. So is it BU or Providence? What is your prediction?
This man has liked the Friars since the start. I'm just, I don't know if you're going to change your mind, but Barry Melrose has been ahead of the curve.
They are a complete team. I watched Providence play. Number one, they got the best goalie. Gillies is the best goalie. The guy's unbelievable. He's fantastic. Wasn't busy last night, but he made the saves he had. And sometimes when you're not busy as a goaltender, it's harder to play that game than if you're seeing 40 shots. So they got the best goalie. And the thing about Providence is everybody's good. Everybody can check. Everybody can score. Everybody's solid. The defense is very, very solid. They don't make mistakes. If you're going to beat Providence, you're going to have to make a great play. They're not going to beat themselves. And I've seen Providence play 3 times now. They've gotten better every time I've seen them play. And if you watch O'Connor last night, you watch Gillies. Gillies is the best goaltender, and 99 times out of 100, whoever has the best goaltender wins a one and done. And Providence has the best goaltender.
All right, very good. Anybody else? All right, here we go from the back. We've got a red and white sweater finally. All right, BU.
Yeah. All right, guys. So obviously it's going to be a BU question from BU. What's your guys' opinion of Matt O'Connor? I know that like this Frozen Four had 4 really good goalies, and I just, like, going forward, what's your guys' opinion of OC?
Again, for those of you who don't know, Matt was, he's an undrafted free agent, so obviously, you know, every kid wants to be drafted, but the one good thing when you're not drafted is then you can pick your team. Torrey Krug wasn't drafted, went to Michigan State, could have gone back to school, but he got to pick his team, pick the Bruins, and it's worked out great for him. Same with Matt O'Connor. He's a free agent. NHL teams have been looking at him. He's obviously had a very, very good year. They wouldn't be here without him. Made some big saves in the regional in Manchester. But I know it's just one game, Barry. You've seen him in person. But he has the size. What else did you see last night?
Well, when I talk about goaltenders, I always sort of go to my buddy Cap Rader and say, Cap, what do you think about this guy? Cap saw him play a lot this year. Cap loves him. He said this was not a typical O'Connor game. He doesn't play like this. He's usually rock solid. So I'm going to write this off as just nerves or whatever and take another look at him tomorrow. He wasn't great yesterday, but I expect him to be much better tomorrow. The guy's got size. He moves very well. He's competitive. You can't put the numbers up that he's put up in a tough conference like he plays in and not be a great goaltender. So I'm going to watch him one more time and see how he responds.
As you know, Barry coached the LA Kings, Wayne Gretzky. His assistant was Cap Rader, who's with us here tonight. Let's give it up for Cap over in the booth. Wave your hand, Cap. Cap played college hockey. And, again, Barry's running mate coaching for the LA Kings and Wayne Gretzky. And so we're glad Cap's here tonight as well. Quint Kesnick, our sideline reporter for our Frozen Four coverage. There's Quint. He's between the glass doing his Pierre Maguire impression. Oh, producer Anthony, where are you? Anthony DeVito.
Where's Anthony?
He's somewhere. Producer Anthony DeVito also here, so the whole crew. is here. Well, we'll keep that down a bit.
Yeah, we don't want anyone to know he's a BU season ticket. Oh, yes!
Oh, Barry, don't
should never
that.
Have said that.
But is anybody else another question? Does anybody have the microphone? We're going to have a raffle for our two tickets in a couple minutes.
Yeah, Barry and Butchie, thanks for coming to Boston. This question's for both of you guys, and it's loosely related to college hockey, but it's definitely a question that all college hockey fans over the age of 21 could appreciate. So, and based on your answer to this question, I'm going to plug it into my GPS and make a trip there next hockey season or later this season. But when I walk into a bar, I rate it based on how much presence there is of the sport of hockey. So on the night when, like, the Celtics are playing, this bar might be, like, a 5%. When the Bruins are playing, it's, like, a 5% or a 50%. But when you take a trip up to, like, Toronto or Ottawa and you go to a bar like the Senate, it's, like, a, I don't know, 85% or so. What is the one best place in the world where it's a 99% or 99.9?
Certainly North Dakota. It's, like, the Alabama of college hockey. You know, it's the biggest show in town. Here in Boston, you got some insurance.
Sorry, guys, you're wrong. The greatest bar to watch a hockey game in is the Kelvington Bar, Kelvington, Saskatchewan. They have three TVs, and I can guarantee
you... Three TVs,
and every TV
Magnavox
is on an NHL game. There's no doubt about it. So you plug that in your GPS. If you can find Kelvington, Saskatchewan with your GPS, you make sure you go there and check those three TVs.
St. Lawrence has a great bar up there.
You guys, I don't know if you guys remember in Grand Forks, you remember the story about the guy from Saskatchewan that shot up the gambling thing in the bar? That was Kelvington. That was the guy in Kelvington. My brother.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well. He was losing on the machine, and he went home, got his shotgun. He came back to the bar, and he shot the machine with the shotgun. That's a true story. It happened. Yeah, you got a little testy when you went 0-17 on the gambling machine.
All right, let's do raffle number one for two tickets to the Ship tomorrow night, Providence and Boston University on ESPN, 7:30. You all were given a raffle ticket, or most of you coming in. Shake it up. Shake it up. Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, apparently we're not allowed to sell them. Incarceration could be involved. All right, here we go. For two tickets, I don't know if I have to read all the numbers, but I will just in case. 564.
Yes.
412. 4. 3. 564. 1-2-4. 3. We got a winner! Oh, he's not sure. He's seen a few numbers right now. The old Red Wing. I tell you, good guy, those Red Wings. Let's see. 564-1-2. You got a winner, winner, chicken parm dinner. So you see Derek. Congrats. Hey, come over here, buddy. Sparky. Come on. What's your name?
Dallas.
Dallas, where are you from?
Lose his place at the
Dickinson,
bar.
North Dakota.
Dickinson, North Dakota. Dallas.
The Bakken. Right in the middle of the Bakken.
Sure.
Where's
well
he
aware
from?
Of it. Red Wings fan. 24 straight years. What is it, 25 straight years? 24 straight years of Red Wings fans. So Dallas is a Detroit fan, and he just won two tickets to the national championship game. He'll see Derek. We got two more to give away, and then Nate Lehman will be here in about 12 minutes. And then we'll give away the other one pair of tickets. Anybody have the microphone asking a question or no? Right there. Okay. Another one. Question number two for the man in front. That's all right.
Regionals in college hockey, do you see them coming back to teams hosting at their home arena or not?
That's a good question. As you know, Barry, sometimes the regional atmosphere can be kind of, you know, quiet, not a lot of attendance. Fargo was unbelievable. Gave North Dakota a great advantage, but it was still cool. From a TV perspective, we want that. It's a better TV show when the arena's filled. What do you think about maybe having regionals where a team gets a home game, in essence, to make sure the arena is packed for atmosphere for the athletes, the people at the game, and for the TV people?
John, we've done games here. We've done games in Bridgeport. We've done games in Providence.
Worcester,
we've done games in Worcester.
Albany.
We've done games everything. I think it is important to get people in the building. I think that is important. I also think if you're a great team, you should be able to go on the road and win. I know it's not fair. A team like Miami, who is the first seed to go into a building like Providence and have to play Providence in Providence. But if Miami's that much better, they should be able to beat Providence in Providence. You know, nothing's worse than looking in on TV and seeing an empty building. So I know exactly where, you know, the NCAA is coming from. Is it a perfect world? No. But I haven't seen a better idea yet than what they're doing now.
I'd like to see drastically reduced ticket prices for students so they can get in there. Make it affordable for them. You know, $10, $15, but maybe $20. But, you know, let them get in there. Get a couple thousand students in there for $10, $15. And I make it easier for them to get in. But obviously the NCAA envisions like a basketball situation where someday, hopefully, you know, they'll have these sites. And like you said, it's for a championship, so you want to be neutral. You want every team to have a chance to win the championship, and it can be a bit unfair. But, of course, you know, you finish with a good regular season, then you're rewarded. And as we know, though, a good team will still beat a team, even if it's on the road. We see the NHL,
yeah.
It's 50-50.
That's
until
what I mean.
Game seven, there is
no
home ice advantage.
If you're a good team, you've got to be able to go on the road and win a game.
Yep. Up top, up a deck. I got to think he probably signs.
Who's that?
Zane McIntyre, you know, draft pick of the Bruins. He's obviously coming off a great year. You know, a lot of times how close these guys are to graduating, how
you're
important
gonna,
is that?
You're going to have to buy a new jersey.
But, yeah, a lot of this is with, you know, these guys have good leverage to sign. If they're free agents, now Zane, of course, is a guy who's the draft pick of the Bruins. So if they're close and they're close to graduation and they've accomplished a lot, like Barry said, they all want to play in the NHL. And they got whatever path helps them do that. They have advisors. They have teams. And sometimes they get pressured to sign. Sometimes they're told to stay. And we'll see what happens. Yo.
What's going on, Bucci? How are you?
Good, man.
What are your thoughts on Arizona State getting a program? And what do you think it will take for those schools to be successful out in the West Coast in the future?
Yeah, Arizona State will be the 60th Division I team to field at D1. So they're going to phase it in slowly but surely. I've often said, you know, why there's so much parity in college hockey is we're producing more players and not adding teams. It's only 59 teams. We have plenty of players to fill those teams. Austin Matthews, who will be the first or second pick of next NHL draft from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hockey's a good enough sport to be played anywhere. And I think hockey, Barry should know, he coached the Kings. The next wave in college hockey is the Pac-12 network. They have a TV network. And they want games. They want programming. I think Arizona State is the first domino to fall.
Check the lineups. Every lineup you see in college hockey now, there's a California kid. There's a kid from Dallas. There's a kid from Florida. There's a kid from Arizona. There's a kid from Washington State. It's not the three M's anymore, Michigan, Minnesota, and Massachusetts. There's kids from all over North America. And we're going to see teams in California. We're going to see USC with a team. We're going to see UCLA with a team. You know, that's the way it's going right now. And the Big Ten network is a start, and it's going to continue to happen because there is so many kids now playing hockey in the United States.
And as we know, why do you play college hockey?
For the girls.
For the girls. Allegedly, Arizona has a few attractive girls, so that'll certainly help the recruits. But the warm weather, swimming pool, movie stars, I don't think the only problem with them, of course, is travel. BU took one plane flight this year. One plane flight the entire year to Wisconsin, Arizona State. Every road game, they're going to get on a plane. So in terms of costs and just, you know, dealing with travel, that will be a bit of an issue. That's why you want to have more teams there over time. But that's what's going to happen out west.
Yeah, and more Western teams help Anchorage, help Fairbanks. They're going to help all the Western schools. So, you know, just like the NHL, we want more teams west. In college hockey, we need more teams in the West.
Right. I mean, you're going to have it anyway, whatever Western teams you have in the West Coast, because obviously we're more compressed in the East, and you can take buses. But out there, even if there are teams in L.A. and the like, they still got to get on a plane and fly. But obviously won't be not these 4 or 5 hour flights to play road games. Got a Q overtime challenge hat question.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think about the increase of college hockey players in the NHL now? It's at about, what, 31%, I think, played college hockey. What attests to that from the last 10 years, the increase, in your opinion?
Why college hockey, why are more NHL players, the percentage, why has it risen, to 31% now? I think it started with the Miracle on Ice team and how the number exploded in USA Hockey, and the numbers have gone up again. And so we're just, as our country is just producing more hockey players than ever before. Then Canadian kids with media, the internet, televised games, TSN2 is showing the national championship in Canada. They're taking our feed. Now they see an option. I don't know if I can make the NHL, but why not go to U.S., get a degree, paid education, give myself a couple extra years to develop, and then if I don't make it, I got a great degree to fall back on. So I think the Canadian option, but I think mostly it's the United States producing more and more hockey players.
And I think a little bit of it is the in Europe with the KHL. I think the KHL has given the young European players an opportunity to play back home.
Instead of junior.
So instead of coming over and playing junior hockey, they're playing in the KHL, moving into the KHL, playing 5 or 6 years in the KHL before they decide to take a shot at the NHL. So, but I think the major thing is that America is producing better players. I think the product is better over here. I think college hockey has become better, and I think it's a viable option to be in Canada.
Judy.
Hey, guys. UNO fan.
Nebraska Omaha fan. Yeah, came a long way.
So UNO, they've had a program since 1996, and now they get into a Frozen Four. First part, do you think they were maybe a little starstruck by the atmosphere of the Frozen Four? And what do you think the Frozen Four appearance will do for this program moving forward?
I don't know if you guys didn't know, but David Quinn was an assistant at Omaha and helped build that program. And the question was really, were they a bit starstruck? What's the future of Omaha? And how much will Frozen Four help the program going forward?
Well, if you look at their line, and sophomores coming back, this team's best years are ahead of them. They're the youngest team in the tournament. I think they were struck. I think they looked like a team that was happy to be there. Because if you watch the previous in the regionals, you watch Omaha play, the team that showed up yesterday was not the team that I've seen on tape. So I think Dean will look at all the stuff. I think the guys that played here this year will be pissed off and realize they didn't play the way they wanted to, and they'll be back with a vengeance next year. And Dean Blaze is one of the great recruiters there is in college hockey. And Dean will have this team ready to go next year, and he'll have a great recruiting class this year. So I expect Omaha to become a fixture here, battling for the Frozen Four.
Yeah, Dean Blaze was able to recruit Mr. Hockey in Minnesota to come to Omaha. So that shows you what people think about Omaha, and I can make the NHL playing in Omaha, and how much respect Dean Blaze has. Is there someone else have the microphone? Or there you go.
How's it going, guys? Big
good.
Fans. So I'm a Quinnipiac guy. Past 3 years, we've been in the dance, lost in the championship. Union won last year, so I just wanted to get your opinion on the legitimacy of the ECAC now.
You say, was it a Quinnipiac question?
Well, yeah, I'm a Quinnipiac guy.
What's that?
I'm a Quinnipiac guy, but I'm just wondering about the legitimacy of the ECAC now. With Quinnipiac and Yale in the dance 2 years ago with Yale winning and then Union last year.
The ECAC is still strong, still has a great future. Harvard's going to be good next year with Jimmy Vesey coming back. Obviously, back-to-back national championships is no joke, Yale and Quinnipiac. And again, it's a strong conference, and they're not going anywhere.
I think we talked about it earlier is was it a case of the Western Conference being better than they were, or a case of, you know, the Eastern Conference, the ECAC being underrated? And I think, it was a little bit of both. Maybe the Western Conference weren't as good as we thought. Providence has beaten three of them. BU has beaten two of them. And then you look at Hockey East has won back-to-back championships. ECAC now is certainly one of the going to win this year. Once you get down to it, you just can't overlook Eastern teams in college hockey. You can't overlook BU. You can never overlook BC. Obviously, Providence is back as a powerhouse. Quinnipiac's great. There's so many good teams out East here, and they seem
when they come tournament time, this is their best time.
Of course, 16 teams make the tournament. Maybe at some point they'll look to expand. You know, when you use the pairwise system and not everybody plays everybody, you know, maybe there even can be flaws in that system. And like you said, it's always weird when some conferences, they seem to have the same record year to year, but one year they get two teams, one year they get four. So how do we see an expansion in the field when we add teams? But right now I like the 16 teams overall. Go ahead,
Doug. Hi, guys. Friars fan here. I'm just wondering, after tomorrow, what do you think Saucy Rossi's future is going to look like?
Saucy Rossi. He's going to come up big tomorrow, isn't he?
Put you like Saucy Rossi. I think he has to come up big. I think if Providence is going to win, Gillies has to be awesome. He has to be the best player on the ice. And I think Mauerman has to be fantastic. I think yesterday they won without Mauerman being a big factor. I don't think they can beat a team like BU without Mauerman being a big factor. I'm a big believer that if you're going to beat teams that maybe are a little bit better than you, your best players have to be the leaders. And obviously Mauerman is one of the leaders for Providence, as is Gillies. So I think those two guys have to be Providence's best players if they have any chance of beating BU.
Once again, we're going to have a giveaway one more pair of tickets soon. Nate Lehman, the Providence head coach, will be joining us here. He'll be 2 minutes away. And then after we talk to Nate, we'll wrap the festivities up with one more pair of tickets to give away. Not sure you guys know, but last couple years, we've shown a lot of regular season college hockey games. We do some Big Ten games. Actually went down to Princeton this year and did a Quinnipiac-Princeton game at the Hobey Baker Rink, which is a really cool rink. A lot of, especially if you live in the Northeast, there's all kinds of cool rinks. You should take some road trips. You find those cool college bars that do love hockey, and St. Lawrence and Yale and all these Cornell. If you haven't been to Cornell, take a road trip to Cornell and see a game out there. So much character, Barry. A lot of the NHL arenas, they're all the same now, but college hockey still has those barns that are old and have character, and that's what I love about the sport, is you have that aspect.
Every time I ask somebody, what's the one college rink I should go to just to watch a game, everybody says Cornell. I guess they got, the Ralph is awesome, but Cornell, I guess, is the students have skits they run. They've got gimmicks they run. They got act, you know, they're almost like a acting class right there. And everyone says that Cornell is the one place
art
that you should go watch to see college hockey in the United States.
Question over there in the corner.
Hi, my name
That's
is...
That's you in the corner.
I am in the corner, and I'm actually an alumni of the RIT Corner Crew.
Yeah, baby, so, I knew that.
I had a question regarding this season. We saw a number of record-setting overtime games in playoffs. This sort of sparked a national conversation about the lack of goal scoring in college hockey. Do you see this as a problem? And if so, what sort of things could the NCAA talk about to fix this problem?
I do think it's a problem. I don't know if some of you might realize, but I am a proponent. I know Cap Rader's not a proponent of this, but I'm a proponent of a bigger net. I think the net should be a little bit, I'm talking like an inch. We need more payoff for these amazing athletes. I'll be watching, even NHL level, I'll be watching the games, and Malkin and Crosby and Taves and Kane, they make these amazing moves. I'm like, man, that was almost a highlight. That almost would have been a SportsCenter top 10 goal. That almost would have been a SportsCenter top 10 goal. I think the only way you're going to get more goals, we're not going to make the equipment smaller. The only way you're going to get more goals is if you make the net like an inch bigger.
Butchie, I love you, but you're totally wrong. You can't change the nets. You can't change the net.
We've lowered the pitching mound. We've relaxed football interference rules. It's not the same when Terry Bradshaw played with Tom Brady.
I will go with you.
Greatest living American.
Make the pad smaller. If you look at the rule book says the goalie's supposed to make the save, not the pad's supposed to make the save. We got gigantic goalies now, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9".
Exactly.
They don't need gigantic pads the way they have now. They can make the pads so well that smaller pads will protect the goalies better than the bigger pads they wear now. They don't need these gigantic pillows that they wear on their knees and the extra pads above their knees and the gigantic shoulders and the gigantic gloves. They don't need that stuff. Make the pads smaller. And again, lighten up the rules. Go back, to the hooking and holding, things like that. Give them more power plays, things like that. But you can't make the net bigger.
I think you can, but if you can find equipment where goalies won't, there won't be lawsuits if there's injuries, and you can find state-of-the-art equipment that's smaller, maybe I'm with you. All right, our other head coach in the championship game. We had David Quinn from BU. Say hello to Nate Lehman from Providence. All right. I think you're going to get some North Dakota fans on your side tomorrow. Breaking news. This is a bit of breaking news. You're going to have your own fans coming, but you're going to have a pretty strong contingent. This arena is going to be 50-50 tomorrow. This must excite you.
I'll tell you. When North Dakota started to turn up in the second period there, and their fans were all standing, and the building was loud, I turned to my assistant coach and I said, "Oh, we're going to have our hands full if we play North Dakota. They have the best fans in the nation." And,
I can work a room.
We played out there for two games this year. We felt it. The first night they pumped us pretty good. We didn't realize. No one told us that when they score, they set off fireworks.
You weren't aware.
In the building.
You weren't aware.
Yeah. So the first time they score,
Canada's attacking.
Fireworks. Yeah, the fireworks start going off, and we're all holy crap, you know. So. We were prepared the second night. You know?
Most places you have to go all the way to Indiana to get fireworks.
Yeah.
So, Coach, a lot of people here don't know your team. So enjoy a lovely beverage. It's on the house. It's Boston's finest public water the harbor. What's your team all about? People know BU. They know Jack Eichel, the whole thing. What's your team about?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we play a little bit like North Dakota. I call it smash mouth hockey. We like to play physical. We like to take away time and space. We like to take it to the net hard and generate our opportunities like that.
Your overall state of the game of college hockey, since we're kind of having a little symposium here of wicked smart people, what's your opinion of the game? You're a D3 player.
Yep.
Now, you built the Union program out there to a winning squad. They won the national championship last year. Now you come to Providence. So what is your... You have the floor. State of the game, Mr. President. What's your state of the game?
I think the state of the game is excellent right now. With Penn State coming in, with Omaha, what they've done in the short period of time since adding a program there, with Arizona State adding a program, with 30% of the NHL coming from college hockey right now, our game's really good. Our game's exactly, I think, where it needs to be. We're attracting the Jack Eichels of the world, the Noah Hanifins of the world, the top players in the world. And the good thing for them is they can come in like a Jack Eichel and a Noah Hanifin. They can come in and they can compete against 20, 21, 22-year-olds. The other path, they have to go in and compete against 16, 17, 18-year-olds. So I like our game. I think our game's great. Our championship is obviously sold out. And I think we're putting a good product on the ice. And the big thing is big schools like Penn State and Arizona State are adding hockey.
Well, Nate, you said the name. What do you do with Jack Eichel tomorrow? You saw that North Dakota had a lot of trouble handling him. What's Providence going to do to handle him?
I'm not going to give too much away. we played
a
few.
Do you actually have a plan?
What was that?
There is a plan out there for
there
him?
There is a plan. It's on a tissue somewhere in my room. We have a plan. But, you know, it's like we want to play our game, you know, to be honest. We felt like we played a great team in Miami. We played a great team in Denver, played another great team in Omaha. And the focus, we tried to keep the focus on ourselves about playing our game. There's a couple of things that we want to do when Eichel's line's out against us. But outside of that, we want to play our game.
So you build a program in Union, you come to Providence. Any young player, they have aspirations of coaching. Maybe there's some young coaches listening online right now. Assistants, maybe seniors who realize they might not play at the next level, they're going to think about coaching. If you gave a coaching seminar to some young assistant coaches or some college hockey players right now who know that they're not going to be able to play at that next level perhaps, what are three key points to building a program like you did at Union and Providence? What would be like three key points that you feel work for you and have to be done? Non-negotiable three pillars that you got to do.
Well, I mean, the number one thing is that you got to get great players. You're not a very good coach if you don't have great players. And it starts at, we turned the corner at Union when Keith Kincaid came in. You know, and we had had some good teams. We'd had some good goaltenders. But when Keith came in, an elite goaltender in the NCAA level, that got us over the hump a lot. And the same thing coming to Providence, you know, starting by building around Johnny. The great goaltenders hide a lot of mistakes. They allow for a lot of development with other players, a lot of growth. So I'd say start there. The second big thing is you got to get your administration on board, because you don't make all the decisions in college. Your president's got to be on board. Your athletic director's got to be on board. And the trustees of your school have to be on board with you having a good program. And getting those people involved, getting those people to understand what the mission is about the goal, the vision of the program, and as well as getting all your alumni involved. And I just got an email on the way over from Ron Wilson, you know, and Brian Burke texted me, twice today already. So getting those guys on board too, and understanding your program, understanding the direction you want to go, and getting behind it, because they can. They're the guys they're the guys out there in the field for you a little bit, in the trenches, you know, and getting their support. And then having great fans, that's a big part of it. But I think it really starts with the players.
So judge the talent, get the guy here, energize your bosses,
yes,
and then energize the alumni. And you got to be that's important as X's and O's. Those things, obviously.
Well, when you're building a program, yeah. You know, when you're building a program, yes. Now you get to a certain point where, you know, the other part of it is that I've always felt, both at Union and at Providence, we want to develop our players better than everyone else. You know, so at both those schools, I don't know, you know, if you're going to attract the top kids, so you got to develop them better than everyone else. So that's where the blood and guts of having a great staff, comes in. And, you know, I give you a little story about at Union when I was there. I mean, our equipment budget was really low, but we were asking the guys to come in at 6 or 7 in the morning and shoot extra pucks. You know, like our defensive core. You know, like after year 4 or 5, I think we only had 2 goals. You know, so we said, hey, you know what? We're getting lead pucks. We're bringing them in. We're going to shoot. We're going to shoot. We're going to shoot. We did the same thing with our forwards. But what happens is you go through twice as many sticks. So if your administration aren't on board with things, yeah, and if your alumni aren't on board with those things to help you fund the development of your players, then it's going to be tough.
Is this the best 3-game period you guys have played this year? I've seen you play 3 games in a row now. Each game I think you're getting better. Better defensively, better offensively. Gillies was great against Denver. Didn't have is great yesterday, but you know, you guys just seem to be getting better and better right now.
Well, I think it's the best 3-game period of us knowing who we are and what makes us successful. I think losing to UNH in the Hockey East playoffs, and really just getting in the tournament, like having to wait and stress about getting in the tournament, I think is a really good thing for us, because I think it brought us together as a group. I think that our focus has kind of been laser-like since then. And the guys have just kind of said, hey, we know what we are. We're going to do what we do. And I think it's helped us really find our identity.
One more question, then we'll have you pick the raffle ticket for our winner of the pair of tickets to tomorrow's game. What would a national championship mean to Providence College?
Well, it'd be our first. So that would be pretty good. I mean, I'm so proud of our team. I'm so proud of our kids. I love our kids. I just want it for them, to be honest with you. I'd want them to have that feeling. I've always told the guys the most special feeling in the world is being at center ice hugging around a trophy. That's the most special feeling you can get in our game, and I'd really want that for the guys.
Yeah. From my mind, the best picture in team sports is that trophy on the ice in the group. And now what a couple people have done, when they put their fans behind them in the glass, whoever was the first to do that, they should get a trophy, because I love that shot of the fans behind the group. It's just, it ties it all together, like you talked about hockey being a great community. All right, folks. Well, thanks so much for coming out. It was awesome to talk college hockey. Give yourself a hand. Thanks for paying attention. Thanks for listening to Coach. Again, tomorrow, 7:30 on ESPN. If you can't make it to the game, if you don't win these two tickets, come to the Greatest Bar. They'll have the game on here, of course, and wherever you may be. So here we go. Coach Nate Lehman will pick our second winner of two tickets to the hottest ticket in town, the national championship game. And here we go.
Well, it's been a terrific hour or so here. Right now they're picking the raffle tickets, so we won't bother to do that on the air.
You know, we get to do some special things in this sport and get to see some people come together. And the Frozen Four obviously brings a lot of that together. And this is a special night to be able to hear from two guys that are doing a great job of promoting this sport, and that's John Buccigross and Barry Melrose from ESPN, and then throw on the two national championship contending coaches with them to talk this game, and we get to hear some great stuff from fans and the questions that they ask. I love doing this, and we appreciate Derek Volner from ESPN helping us to get this type of programming where this is obviously a week we've always liked at the Frozen Four, be able to do USCHO Live, to maybe let somebody else take over the mics for an hour or so has been pretty special as well.
Yes, indeed. And I've really got to hand it to those guys for getting out here and mingling with the fans, taking pictures with everybody, taking questions. Yeah.
Listen, I think that people sometimes maybe have a bad perception of what goes on at the big networks and the fact that they control some money, and there's a lot of money at this network level. And but for these guys, you know, say what you want about them, John Buccigross and Barry Melrose, they care about this, and they feel that this is important to what they do as a network. We were talking with one of their program directors of programming earlier. They have the World Cup coming up, the World Cup of Hockey. Hockey will be back on this network in a big way, and I think that's really important to know that college hockey kind of starts it all off. What John Buccigross and Barry Melrose and the whole ESPN crew has done certainly makes it special.
No? They're giving a pair of tickets to the to tomorrow night's championship game. So,
South yeah. Dakota fans, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and it looks like the North Dakota fans will be cheering for tomorrow night.
You know, I had said it today that if you're not a Boston University fan, you'll be cheering for Providence tomorrow, and that's going to be a lot of other fans. To think that the building might be more in favor of Providence tomorrow night than it will in Boston University, despite the fact that BU is just 4 miles down the road, quite remarkable.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? I think it's just going to be loud for everybody. People love that game. I just hope there's a great game. And tomorrow we'll be previewing the game, and we have people clamoring to be guests with us. We have a possible special guest that really surprised that. I mean,
yeah, well, the mayor of Boston has reached out with some interest in coming on the show. We hope that we can make that happen. Regardless, a great lineup tomorrow. We will have 3:30. We begin here at the Greatest Bar Live. If you're in Boston, come on down. If not, put on the internet, listen to the show. We've had a lot of fun thus far this week. One last time we get to do it tomorrow. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. And we'll catch you later tomorrow on USCHO Live. Don't forget to check out all the extended coverage on Frozen Four at USCHO.com. For Jim Connolly, I'm Ed Trevsker, and we'll see you next time on USCHO Live.